The tour content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. In Friday's episode, I was unsure whether I would record any episodes this week, but turns out I can't resist recording at least one episode on the topic of Stoicism and true freedom and slavery, which is appropriate to Pesach, which is coming up. So we are going to read from Epictetus's Discourses, Book 4, Chapter 4, subtitled, To Those Who Are Desirous of Passing Life in Tranquility. Remember that not only the desire of power and of riches makes us mean and subject to others, but even the desire of tranquility and of leisure and of traveling abroad and of learning. For, to speak plainly, whatever the external thing may be, the value which we set upon it places us in subjection to others. What then is the difference between desiring to be a senator or not desiring to be one? What is the difference between desiring power or being content with a private station? What is the difference between saying, I am unhappy, I have nothing to do, but I am bound to my books as a corpse, or saying, I am unhappy, I have no leisure for a reading? For as salutations and power are things external and independent of the will, so is a book. For what purpose do you choose to read? Tell me. For if you only direct your purpose to being amused or learning something, you are a silly fellow and incapable of enduring labor. But if you refer reading to the proper end, what else is this than a tranquil and happy life? But if reading does not secure for you a happy and tranquil life, what is the use of it? But it does secure this, the man replies, and for this reason I am vexed that I am deprived of it. And what is this tranquil and happy life which any man can impede? I do not say Caesar or Caesar's friend, but a crow, a piper, a fever, and 30,000 other things. But a tranquil and happy life contains nothing so sure as continuity and freedom from obstacle. Okay, so the main point here is that we understand that if you are enslaved to lust for power or riches or something like that, then you are a slave. You're enslaved to your desires. But Epictetus is directing this rebuke to someone who is enslaved to learning, which is an interesting thing, right? Is that he's saying that if you are a person who complains about not having leisure to read, or if you are so attached to your reading that you can't break away from it, or without being unhappy, so then what exactly are you doing? You know, what is the purpose of your reading if not to secure a tranquil and happy life? He elaborates on this later on, a few paragraphs later. He spells it out. He says, where is it? He says, if you maintain yourself free from perturbation, free from alarm, and steady, if you look rather at the things which are done and happen than are looked at yourself, if you do not envy those who are preferred before you, if surrounding circumstances do not strike you with fear or admiration, what do you want? Books? How or for what purpose? For is not this a preparation for life? And is not life itself made up of certain other things than this? This is just as if an athlete should weep when he enters the stadium because he is not being exercised outside of it. It was for this purpose that you used to practice exercise. For this purpose, we're used to the halters, the dust, the young man as antagonists. And do you seek for those things now when it is the time of action? This is just as if in the topic of ascent, when appearances present themselves, some of which can be comprehended and some of which cannot be comprehended, we should not choose to distinguish them, but should choose to read what has been written about comprehension. So in other words, why are you learning? You know, aren't you learning so that you can live a life in line with reality, in line with God's will, in line with nature, however you want to put, if you want to use Jewish terms or Stoic terms. But, that's the whole point of your reading. So we would say that an athlete who's training for a game would be an idiot if he gets to the game and then cries because he can't go back to training. Like, that's the whole purpose of the training. So too with learning. Yes, learning is valuable, but the whole reason why you're learning is to be able to live the correct life. So is it unfortunate if you are interrupted from your learning by life? Well, it's unfortunate only in the sense that you're not being, having the leisure to learn, but you are learning so that you can live. And so if life interrupts you from learning, this is the game. This is the stadium. This is where you can exercise. This is what you were learning for. This is what you were preparing for. So that's Epictetus's point here. Now I want to transition to something which I initially didn't want to go over because I thought maybe this is too simplistic, and maybe everyone knows this, but if there's one thing I've learned this year, it's that some things that that I am tempted to withhold because they're too, I think they're too basic. People do still find value. And so if this is a new idea, great. If this is a review, then also great. So there's a Mishnah, or not really a Mishnah, a Braisa in Pirkei Avos in the sixth chapter, 6-2. And it, I'm not gonna read the whole thing. It quotes a pasuk from Shemos 32:16, which says, V'haluchos ma'aseh Elokim hema, v'hamichtav michtav Elokim hu charus al haluchos. So the tablets, this is talking about the two, you know, the Ten Commandments tablets, and the tablets were the work of God, and the script was the script of God, and it says charus al haluchos, engraved on the tablets. So then the Braisa then expounds, you know, uses the style of drasha about changing the vowels. Al tikre charus ela charus. Do not read charus, engraved or inscribed, but rather charus, free. She'in lecha ben chorin elamisha osik patama Torah. For there is no free person except for someone who involves himself in learning Torah or in Torah itself. So yeah, sorry, learning Torah. Yeah. Okay, so there's no, that's the phrase I want to focus on. In lecha ben chorin elamisha osik patama Torah. There's no free person except for one who is involved in the study of Torah. And I, you know, I'm realizing now, so I'm going to be reading from the Abravanel in his commentary Nachalas Avos. It's possible, I didn't check this out, it's possible that there are different versions of the Braisa, because I thought I read it as someone who is involved in Torah, not in learning Torah, meaning not just learning, but learning and doing the mitzvos. Okay, anyway, we're going to treat it like that. So the Abravanel, in his very lengthy commentary, says something here, which I'm just going to excerpt from the rest of his commentary. He says, let me back up. The question is, what do you mean? How is someone who is involved in Torah, especially if we expand this to include the mitzvos, how is that person free? And how can you say that someone who's not involved in Torah is not free, right? I mean, you know, go and tell that to like a teenager who's in conflict with, or not just a teenager, I guess I'm thinking of as a high schooler, a high school rebbe, but you know, tell someone who is who feels subjugated by Torah and say that no, you really are free. And the people who are not keeping Torah are the ones who are not free. You're going to sound crazy, right? So this is where the Abravanel says this idea, and again, I think this is a this is a pretty universal idea, but he just says it so beautifully. He says, "Hachna'a el hadas, ena shibud, aval hu cherus. Lefisha hadas v'han hagasa mevim ha'adam el hashlemus hamidosi'i, velihios sichlo ben chorin, velo evid ta'avosav." So to translate, submission to the religion, meaning to Judaism, is not slavery, but freedom. Because the religion and its observance bring a person to perfection of midos, of character traits, thereby making his intellect free and not a slave of his taivos, not a slave of his desires, his emotions, his habits, his addictions, his lusts, his bad midos, however you want to translate taivos. V'lachin amar, and therefore the author of this braisa said, Al takshov shemi she'ino osik b'torah im hiyosa she'yikare nazuf, hine yikare ben chorin munach l'ritzono v'chepto bilti mishubad l'mitzos ha-torah. He says, one who doesn't involve himself in Torah, although he is reprimanded, do not think that he is a free person because his will and his desires aren't subject to the mitzvos of the Torah. Eino kein, this is not true. Lefi she'in l'cha ben chorin elamisha osik b'Torah. Yes, he says Torah, not Talmud Torah. Because only one who is free is one who is involved in Torah. Lefi shehi tadrichehu el hashlemus, because it guides you to perfection. V'heyoso ben chorin ubilti mishubet latavosav, and makes you into someone who is free and not a slave to his desires. V'hine samach lezeh l'charus al haluchos, l'fi shehayalomar chakuk aval nichtav charus, l'lamdenu shebe'emtzaus haluchos yikne ha'cheros ha'amiti. And this idea is attached to the pasuk that says engraved on the tablets, because it should have said chakuk, which is a more common word for engraved, but it was written as charus, to teach us that by means of the tablets, a person will acquire true freedom, meaning by means of Judaism, you'll acquire true freedom. So the analogy here, I think, is, you know, I'm definitely more of a musician than an athlete, but I guess you could use being a musician or being an athlete here. So take like a jazz musician who is you know, doing an improvised solo, you know, so he looks, I mean, he looks free and he is free. He's really playing freely, not following any sort of, written pre-programmed script, you know, But the thing is, or you look at a basketball player who is just, you know, dominating his game and just seemingly doing whatever he wants, you know, following his you know, basketball instincts and just, you know, dominating, right? So you can look at that from the outside and say that this person is free. But the question is, how do you get there? Well, you only get there by subordinating yourself to a good regimen and practicing and practicing and practicing, you know, both positive techniques and restrictions that prevent you from indulging in bad habits. You know, the musician has to practice scales and has to practice, you know, getting the proper tone and has to, you know, go through this very, very, very lengthy process, which will be perceived as a form of subjugation. Well, it is a form of subjugation. He'll have to go through that in order to reach the point where he can truly play in a free manner. And same thing with the athlete is all the good athletes have to be very, very disciplined and subject themselves to things that they don't want to do in order to be able to succeed in the game and thrive and do what they want to do. So this, I think, is you know, again, the best explanation I've seen of how Torah provides freedom is that by subjecting yourself to the Torah regimen, which includes things which perfect the mind and things which perfect the character traits, you know, your emotions and your personality, you do attain, even though you are subjecting yourself to certain restrictions, it is towards the end of attaining freedom and freedom of the mind from being a slave to the desires, which is really what Epictetus was writing about. And therefore, just to combine the two ideas now, you know, obviously we value Torah, you know, learning Torah in the most high fashion is Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam. Learning Torah equals everything. But we also at the same time say that Gadol Talmud Shemevi Lidei Maisa, that the reason why learning is superior is because it leads you to action. So the whole point of being involved in Torah is so that you can live the correct life. And that's really what Epictetus is calling out his student for, of saying that yeah, you want to learn, that's really, really nice. But if you want to learn to the exclusion of living, meaning that if you complain when life intrudes upon your learning, then you've got a messed up idea about learning. You know, the whole reason why we learn is so that we can live in line with reality and that we can make the correct decisions and put our learning to the test, so to speak. And therefore, you know, if you want to use learning as an escape from life, that's really a distortion of the learning. So how do we apply this to Pesach? Well, without going into detail, and maybe I'll elaborate on this later, but, you know, Pesach is, my Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Chait always says, is a night of the Masorah, a night of the where we induct the new generation into the correct attitudes and ideas about how we relate to mitzvos. You know, or as my Chumash Rebbe, Rabbi Yoni Sachs, said, that really, you know, Shavuos is about Matan Torah. Shavuos is about accepting the Torah itself, but Pesach is really about mitzvah readiness. It is about preparing us for the mitzvos, you know, preparing the raw material. And so we really need to do a lot of preparation before we get to Shavuos and think about how we are ready to accept the Torah. We really need to think about what Torah is and what mitzvos are. And this is really what, and we need to free ourselves from a distorted way of relating to the mitzvos. And there are many. If I start to list them right now, then we're not going to end this episode. So I guess to just, you know, guide us in the direction, I think I'm going to do is I'm not going to talk about applying this to Pesach right now. Let's just end on this note. And maybe between now and Pesach, I'll elaborate on this concept here. But I guess to summarize, then if it's only natural for a person to view the life of Torah as a form of subjugation, because it does restrict you. However, what the Abravanel is pointing out and what Epictetus is emphasizing is that by subordinating yourself to something which liberates you, which liberates your mind from your desires, then you are actually attaining a greater freedom than the one who is not subordinate to this. And I think that is the takeaway message here. That is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweiss. Link is in the description. I can't, this week is going to be quite busy, so I can't predict if when I will post new episodes, it's possible I'll just like post things as I as they occur to me, as opposed to doing it at a regularly scheduled time as I have been. So thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone. And if this is the last time I speak to you on this podcast before Pesach, then have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach.